Good morning. We want to welcome everyone out to our services at East End. It is especially nice to see all of those who are visiting with us. We appreciate you being here as we have come together to worship the great God of heaven and earth. We are encouraged by your interest in spiritual things, and we ask if there's anything that we can help you with of a spiritual nature to please let us know, and we'll be more than happy to assist in any way that we can. This morning, we are going to continue on with our series of lessons regarding holiness and how we as Christians have been called to be holy as God is holy. We started looking a couple weeks ago at different seasons of life and how we can be holy in those specific times in our Christian walk. And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the season of singleness and how it is those who are single can pursue holiness in that particular time of life. This morning, we're going to talk about getting older and how we can be holy in the older years of our lives. And of all the seasons that we are going to discuss, they're all important. But this is a very, very, very unique season of life because this is a time in which children have grown and they've moved out of the house. And now maybe the only time you see your family as a whole is for birthdays or different holidays. And so the house just isn't as loud and active as it once was. This is a time in which maybe you are nearing retirement or have retired. And so for the first time, the thing that you have done for 40 plus years, 40 plus hours a week, you don't do anymore. And that's a major adjustment, a major change in your life. And as all of these changes are happening, you daily feel the effects of weeks and months and years that have added up over time, and you feel the toll that they are taking on your body, and you sympathize and you relate to the words of the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 when he talks about the teeth wearing down and the hearing going low and the eyes growing dim and the hair going white. This is a unique season of change. And when you think about all of those different changes that I mentioned, you may think, well, that's a depressing time. But I want you to know that old age is not something to be depressed about, because it is something that God values. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, the proverb writer says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." In chapter 16, verse 31, the proverb writer says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life." And then God told the Israelites in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." God values old age. He holds it in high esteem, and He calls us to honor it as well. And then you think of some of the great people of faith in the Bible, and you realize that they accomplished some of their greatest works for the Lord in their old age. And I would say they likely accomplished those great things as a result of their old age and the fortitude and the strength that they had developed over life. You think about Moses. You think about Joshua. You think about Anna and Paul and Abraham and how great these people of faith were in their later years of life. And so this morning, if you consider yourself to be older, and notice I said, if you consider yourself, I'm not going to label you. If you consider yourself to be older this morning, I want to encourage you not to view your age as a disadvantage in your pursuit of holiness. Do not fall into the trap of thinking, well, you know, I just can't do what I once could, and I'm not as sharp as I once was, I'm not as quick on my feet, and so therefore this pursuit of holiness thing, it's just not for me. That is not true at all. If you are in this phase of life, this is not a time for you to simply slow down and pump the brakes on your pursuit of holiness. Instead, this is an opportunity for you to grab on to this pursuit of holiness strongly, as strong as you have before, and maybe even stronger than you have before. Because the church needs your example of holiness. And God is glorified when you live a holy life in your older years. And so this morning I want to talk about what it looks like to be holy in your older years. And the Bible lays it out perfectly for us in Titus chapter 2 in verses 2 through 5. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would encourage you to take them out and to turn there. If you're going to be using one of the few Bibles in front of you, that will be on page 998. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. And as you're turning there, I'll go on and tell you that Paul is giving Titus instructions on what he is to tell members of the congregations that he is among. And he wants to give them instructions on how to live godly lives. In other words, how to be holy as God is holy. And so in Titus chapter 2, Titus is to give instructions to men and women and bondservants and masters. But one thing that's interesting is Paul tells Titus to first address the older members. He begins first with older men and then with older women. The question is why? Well, it may just be coincidence, or it may not. And I can't prove this for certain, but I would suggest that Paul is in fact placing an emphasis on older members because Paul understands just how vital older members are to the church. Well, don't misunderstand, every single demographic of the Lord's body is important. Every single demographic plays a role. But I want you to imagine just for a second, the Lord's body void of its older members. Think of the wisdom, the experience, the knowledge that would be lacking. Think of the encouragement that is given by older members that would be missing. We have some great encouragers here from young to old, and every single one of those encouraging words is special, but there is something uniquely special about the encouraging words of somebody who has lived a lifetime of experiences. Think of all the wonderful advice and the comments that are typically made during Bible class or before or after services that would just be gone. Older members bring a strength, they bring a stability, they bring wisdom that no other demographic in the Lord's body brings to the table. And so older members are vital. And so it's with that being said that we take a look at Paul's words to Titus on how Titus is to instruct older men and women of the congregations. And so look with me, beginning at verse 2 of Titus chapter 2. There, the Apostle Paul says this: older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This is what it looks like to live holy lives in the older years of life. Paul begins first by addressing older men, and he says that older men are to be sober-minded. And when you think of sober-mindedness, what you think of is a mind that is not contaminated with physical substances, but also not contaminated with worldly pursuits and worldly thoughts. Sometimes in a man's younger years, he can get caught up in his work or caught up in hobbies or caught up in cars or intoxicated with travel or a number of different things. But over time, he needs to see all of the energy that he exerted in those types of things and see what the writer of Ecclesiastes saw, that ultimately they don't lead to true satisfaction. And so instead, as he grows older, he needs to understand and pursue even more the things of God. But how does an older man who is pursuing holiness do this? Well, Peter would say this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so sober-mindedness is obtained when a man's hope is set fully on the grace, on the glory that is to be revealed at the second coming of Christ Jesus. And as a younger man, I can tell you that it is extremely encouraging to see an older man living this out, see an older man who has his gaze on eternity and he has the end in sight. Because younger guys can get caught up in so many different things and they can lose sight of that. Because they get so busy pursuing a degree and then a career and then getting married and then starting a family and then buying a house. But seeing an older, sober-minded man who is pursuing holiness, it's a reminder that everything in this world is temporary. It's not going to last. This life is about looking beyond, looking to eternity. There was a brother who stood up at the Lord's table not too long ago, an older man, and he said that he had confidence in the life that is to come. And he said that he can rest his head peacefully at night. And I'm paraphrasing this, but because he is pursuing holiness in his life. And that was a big encouragement to me, and that stood out to me. And so older men who are pursuing holiness are to be sober-minded men. But next Paul says that they are to be dignified. And when I think about a dignified man, I think of a man whose demeanor correlates with his physical age. In other words, he has a mature demeanor. And if you're using the King James Version, you'll notice that instead of dignified, it uses the word grave. A very stern word. But that stern word doesn't mean that a man can't crack a joke. Doesn't mean that he can't smile, doesn't mean that he can't have a sense of humor, but what it does mean is that his wisdom and maturity is to be clearly seen in the way that he conducts himself. And so if you are an older man in pursuit of holiness, you can let this dignity, this graveness come into full form by thinking back on your life through a godly lens. And think about all the things you've experienced, the good times and the difficult times, the successes and the failures. Think about the frailty of life as you've seen it over time. Your comprehension now that death is inevitable and unavoidable. Think about what you've seen regarding sin and how sin is no laughing matter because you know what sin leads to. Look back and consider those things through a godly lens, and that will solidify this dignity, this graveness into your life. And you will be the holy man that God has called you to be. And then Paul says that a man is to be self-controlled. And if you'll notice reading through this section, being self-controlled is talked about for the older men, the older women, the younger men and the younger women. Self-control is just talked about all over the place. And I think that there is an intentional emphasis on that because Paul understands that if a person can have self-control, it's going to affect every other aspect of their life. It's going to affect their words. It's going to affect their thoughts. It's going to affect their actions. It's going to affect their desires. And we live in a world that basically teaches us, do what you want. You don't have to have self-control. And the world has no self-control in a number of different areas. As it relates to men, it's oftentimes talked about that men need to have self-control as it pertains to the lust of the eye. And that applies here in this text, even with older men. But it goes beyond that. Because men are to have self-control in things regarding money and entertainment and their attitudes towards certain people and certain situations. Men are to be self-controlled. And so again, we think about what Paul says here and this pursuit of holiness, and we see these things are what make up the life of a holy older man. And then he ends by saying that an older man is to be sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. And I love this idea of being sound in faith, being grounded in faith. If you're an older man in pursuit of holiness, don't be swayed by the opinions of those around you. Don't be swayed by the popular beliefs of the world. Instead, be grounded in your faith. And you know how you can do that? Is by looking back on your life and considering all the different changes that you've seen. How the culture is constantly changing the definition of morality. How the culture is constantly changing its values, constantly changing its standards. But then you look back and you realize that through all of that, there's been a constant. And that constant is God and His promises and His words. And when you consider the trustworthiness and the reliability of God, it should ground you even more in your faith, knowing that He is steadfast. And therefore, you become even firmly rooted in His word, in His standards. And then Paul says that an older man is to be sound in love. And I think this is a love for not only God, but a love for those around us. And so if you are pursuing holiness in your life, demonstrate what true love really is. Demonstrate what love towards God looks like, what love towards your neighbor looks like. Demonstrate sacrificial love. Love that is manifested in service. Understand and show a love of will, not a love of emotion. And then Paul says that men are to be steadfast. They are to be patient. They are not to waver. But they're to stay this course despite the ebbs and flows of life. Despite the circumstances that may come their way. Again, keep the end in sight. So you can patiently persevere through the present. These are the things that older men who are pursuing holiness are to be and are to strive for. But then Paul shifts gears as he enters into verse 3 by talking about older women. And he talks about things that women who are pursuing holiness should be. He says there in verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So they're to be reverent in their behavior. What does that mean? It means they're to have behavior that is honorable, respectable. The idea is that they're to conduct themselves in holiness. That looks like the life and the attitude of Anna. In Luke chapter 2, remember Anna was an elderly prophetess and she would spend night and day at the temple worshiping God and fasting. Luke chapter 2 verse 37 says she did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And so Anna is a woman who showed honor, who showed respect, who showed dedication to her God. And so older women who are pursuing holiness are to recognize that as a Christian, they are not to be sitting at the feet of a physical temple, but they are to recognize that they are the temple of God and that God's presence is with them. And so therefore they are to conduct their lives knowing that and reflecting that reality, which will impact their speech and their attitudes and their actions. And one of the things that accompanies women who are reverent in their behavior, who understand that they are the temple of God in a relationship with God, is that they are not going to be slanderers. In other words, they're not going to use words that tear other people down, that malign other people, that verbally attack other people. And an older woman who is pursuing holiness doesn't do this because she has seen a lifetime of wounds and broken relationships that have been a result of misspoken, hurtful, slanderous words. And so she knows that those words are not befitting of a Christian. And so she looks to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, which says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." And so instead of slanderous words, she chooses uplifting, encouraging, motivating, kind words. She knows that these are the words that are to come out of a woman pursuing holiness. And one of the ways to make sure that that happens is to make sure older women are not slaves to much wine, as Paul mentions there in verse 3. And I do find it interesting that communication, words that are spoken, is immediately followed by alcohol. I find it interesting that those two things are put together, because it's alcohol that loosens the lips. It's alcohol that blazes the trail for slanderous, hurtful words to follow. But just like men, who are to be sober-minded, women are not to allow themselves to be influenced and controlled by a substance like alcohol. Instead, a holy woman is to be influenced and controlled by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 says, "And do not be filled with wine or get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." It's sin. "But be filled with the Spirit." And so an older woman who is pursuing holiness understands that she needs to consume the Word of God. She needs to consume the words of the life-giving Spirit and allow those words to influence her life and to control her actions and to control her mind. And a woman who does that is going to set herself up well to be able to do the last thing we're going to talk about this morning, which is seen in verse 3, and that is teach the younger women what is good. And when Paul mentions that in verse 3, he goes on and he says what older women are to teach. They are to teach younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. Now, understand that these are the things that older women are to teach the younger women. And we're not going to talk about all of these things individually, but if you are an older woman this morning, I want you to understand that the things you are to teach are the things you are to be. And the reason that Paul says you are to teach these things is because he expects you to be qualified to teach them, to be living them yourself, to be doing them yourself. And so we're not going to talk about each one of those individually, but as you go back and restudy this text, keep that in mind, that the things you teach are the things you are to also be. But what I want to focus on this morning is the older lady being a teacher of good. And so you're to be a mentor, you're to be a trainer of sorts to the younger ladies. And this can be done in a very formal way. This can be done in the setting of a woman's Bible study, like is getting ready to start right back up with some of the ladies here at East End. But I don't know that that's exactly what Paul had in mind. I think he's talking more about lifestyle training. Teaching that is done in your homes or over lunch or over dinner or coffee or as you talk to younger ladies before and after services. I think Paul is just talking about typical everyday interactions that you have. And so, older ladies, you are a personal trainer of sorts to the younger ladies. And you're not teaching them about exercise. You're not teaching them about things like that. You're teaching them about the direction that they are to go in life. That's what you're training them in. How to be godly wives and mothers and godly homemakers. How to be a godly woman. And understand that that is a role that is uniquely suited for you. Because you have walked in the shoes of a younger woman. You know the specific challenges that she faces. You know what it means to be a godly woman who's raising children and being a wife. You understand it. You've been there. You've done that. And so God's desire for you is that you impart your wisdom to younger ladies. And so older ladies, think about a younger lady in this congregation that you can reach out to. And think about doing it. Having them over to your home or going out to coffee with them. Because they may not verbalize it to you, but younger ladies, they need you. And guess what, older guys? We younger guys need you too. We really do. And I can tell you there have been older men here who have reached out to me and have gotten involved in my life, and it has been a great encouragement. It has meant so much to me because I know that I have a confidant. I know that I have somebody I can go to help with growing as a man. And so older guys, think about that yourself. Think about having a young man or a group of young men that you can take under your wing and that you can train and guide and lead because of your wisdom and knowledge and experience in this life. And I know I'm going to veer off the text here for just a minute, but I also want to say that this is a good instruction and encouragement for older married couples as well. You all understand the challenges of marriage. You understand the blessings of marriage. You understand the different seasons of marriage. And there are a lot of couples who are newly married or only been married a few years or maybe getting ready to enter into marriage. Think about taking one of those couples aside and talking to them and being a mentor to them, just letting them know that you're there. If they ever have any questions or ever need to talk to you about the marriage relationship. One of the things I remember back home, or not back home, this is home, but back in Bowling Green when I was in college there, was a couple that took us, me and Carolyn, under their wing. And just knowing that we had the opportunity whenever we needed to talk about different issues regarding marriage, that we could do that. And that meant a lot, just knowing that we had that resource in that relationship. And so older men and women, I just want you to understand this morning. The church needs you. It needs you. It needs your example of speech and wisdom and conduct and love and sober-mindedness. It needs your example of strong faith. It needs your example of showing the younger that even though life is tough and even though Satan is relentless, that we can get through. And that we can enter into the older years of life still clinging to Christ. And still pressing on towards that goal. And maybe you're older this morning and you feel that you're falling short in some of the things that we've talked about. Remember your purpose as a Christian. And remember that no matter what age you are, you are an active and a vital member of the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you to stay motivated. And I want to do that by reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 before we close this morning. And I'm so appreciative of Brandon for the songs that he led and the theme that he set forth. Because we did not talk about this final passage, but it aligns up perfectly with what he began our service with this morning. Paul says, as he is an older man here in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let us hold true to what we have attained." Paul's encouragement here to forget what lies behind, to strain forward for what lies ahead, is my encouragement to you this morning. As you continue your pursuit of holiness in this stage of your life, keep the end in mind. Remember what it's all leading to. And I'm confident that you will be that holy individual that God has called you to be. And you will be that excellent example to the church that I know I need you to be. I appreciate your time this morning. If you are not a Christian, you have not submitted your life to Christ through the watery grave of baptism and had your sins washed away by his blood, we encourage you to do that this morning. We encourage you to recognize the sin in your life and understand that that is a wedge between you and God. Seek to remove that and seek to walk down the path of righteousness with him. If that is something that you would like to do this morning, we would encourage you to do that. If you are already become a Christian and you know that you're not walking down that path of righteousness that you know you need to, we encourage you to make changes there. Come back to God, and He will embrace you with open arms. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.
Oh.